this just in, the Hartford Carnival Rubicon River Cruise has been postponed. Well, what do you know?
Live from the beautiful Shower Center in Hartford, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Clyde Stubblefield on drums, and I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, Miss Slinger Speedway, Carrie Finko, Dale Anderson of the Wisconsin Auto Museum, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who can't find Marty Zivko's ballroom on his GPS, it's Michael Feldman.
Hello, Hartford! Hartford, Wisconsin, ladies and gentlemen, beautiful Shower Center. And the beautiful Hartfordians, Hartforders. Nice to be here. Nice to be back. I haven't been back to Hartford, I told you, since Marty Zivko's ballroom. And that was 1967, I want to say. I don't want to say it, but that's what it was. We're watching the Skunks. I was here for the Skunks, I think. Remember the Skunks? Out of Milwaukee. They were almost big. They almost had a big hit. And then someone else did it and had the big hit. Typical for Milwaukee bands, you know. The Skunks actually had their hair dyed in skunk stripes. That was their innovation. Beatles had their hair, but we had the Skunks. So, anyhow, I was here for that, for the Skunks thing. And 3.2 beer, I'm saying, up here, you know, 18 years old. Only place you could get, you had to come to the county here. Couldn't get it in Milwaukee County. Oh, no. So out here, that 3.2 beer, whatever it was, and drink a lot of them, but you got to get rid of it at some point, so hence the incident, the Marty Zivko's ballroom incident of 1967, where young Michael Feldman was pushed down by an unknown assailant while at the urinal. Fortunately, it was a roomy urinal. And that was the incident. That's why I haven't been back in all these years. But I think I can let go of it now. And yet I come back to a hero's welcome. So the years have been kind to me. And thank you, Hartford. A hero's welcome, I say. Yeah, and then, you know, like Hartford really wants me back now. I guess they heard about that incident in 67. Never did find the guy. Maybe what a lousy thing to push someone down when they're, you know, at the urinal. Because you're not going to turn around and confront the guy, you know. It's like the perfect crime. It's the perfect crime. So I have no idea who that was. I did hear the click of little cleats. So, but that could have been anybody in those days. So, yeah, you know, Hartford is actually really wants me to come back now, big time. They're trying to lure me back with the radio offers. For example, the emergency broadcast system. They said I could use that once in a while, and so that'd be cool. Now they're dangling the Rosary broadcast in front of me. WTKM 104.9. Rosary broadcast. It's a big deal because it's drive time. Radio drive time is everything. I mean, I can't change the format too much. But it would be the Rosary broadcast with Michael Feldman. Or Michael Feldman's Rosary broadcast. I don't know. And, of course, the Wisconsin Auto Museum wants my 61 Corvair badly. Not available, I don't think. It's probably an object in somebody's kitchen now. You know, that was a 61 Corvair I bought from the used car lot across the street. Okay, Corral, used cars. Had a 60 engine in it. Yeah, well. Oh, maybe I'll let them have it. Now in all the Hartford and some of the Slinger news that isn't. Big issues in the Common Council primary, February 19th. The Veterans Memorial Pool renovation, foremost. And it comes down to Memorial Pool renovation, Taj Mahal or updated facility. How many of you say Taj Mahal? How many of you? Come on. How many of you say updated facility? Okay. Pretty much divided then. I think we should go to the Taj Mahal because that would be a tourist destination then. I'm going to see the Taj Mahal pool in Hartford. Meanwhile, of course, some idea about putting for the vacant storefronts downtown, dummies for the vacant storefronts that look like shoppers. Okay, anyway, maybe that's not a good idea. Over in West Bend, they're wrestling with the RV parking on your front lawn problem. That's the big issue there, particularly those with visible vegetation around and under the vehicle. They're singling those out if you have vegetation around your vehicle. So you just got to make it legal to blacktop your lawn, I think. You know, for years we've been avoiding really the problem is not so much parking your RV on the lawn. It's that they won't let you blacktop it. So I think if we can work that out, then it's a win-win. The town of Hartford has revised the phrase, removed the phrase, supervisors should not be campaigning while being paid a salary for the town's work from a recent ordinance they passed because it was too vague. I just saw that. I thought that was good. Yeah, if you could make that a little more specific, then that would be good. The city of West Bend, once again, changes the Department of Economic and Community Development to the Department of Economy and Aid Development before realizing it spells dead. Oh, well. State Senator Glenn Grothman. Did you say Groth or Groth? Ooh, I know you're oohing or aahing, but what's his name? His name, I mean. Is it Grothman? Grothman. Okay. Let's try it again. State Senator Glenn Grothman, Kwanzaa opponent, now is going after Christians because of Jesus' arrest record. So I guess, you know, Jesus had a long arrest history. So obviously the holiday cannot be any good. In Hartford, City Hall or Taj Mahal in the revamp. Some water damage at the Jack Russell. Just got to let the little guy out more. Hartford's Main Street, the revitalization, is actually a total restoration of Marty Zipko's ballroom. And then they're going to open with the Fritz the Plumber cover band. Fritz the Plumber. All right, now, Fritz the Plumber. Yes. See, I feel like I'm home again. WEMP Radio in Milwaukee. Fritz the Plumber had his own show on there. Anybody would come out and play, you know, at Zipco. Fritz the Plumber. Thank you very much for knowing that. That's not going to happen everywhere. You know, I mean, really, I've gone all over the country, and I mentioned Fritz the Plumber. Dead silence. Nothing. Marty Zipko's or Taj Zipko's? So that'd be the question. How far should we go with that? Here's a note. There's a reunion of the German World War II prisoners of war at the Chandelier internment ballroom. So any of you who were in that conflict might want to down there. Governor Walker came to Hartford seeking the mineshaft. He's going to get that mine one way or another. The mine may be up north, but you guys got the shaft. That's the way I look at it. Governor spoke at Steelcraft here while wearing safety glasses. A nice touch, I thought. I love it when a guy who's never worn a pair of safety glasses in life puts one on, you know, just for not realizing how stupid he looks in a pair of safety glasses. He's obviously never worn a pair in his life. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. He stood in front of a giant flag of the state of Wisconsin. Remember this moment? It was a magic moment for Hartford and the world. Pointed out that there's a miner on the flag of the state flag of Wisconsin. On one side of the shield, there's a miner. But he didn't mention that on the other side on the flag was Herr Commandant Heinrich Koch the First. The overseer. There's the overseer, and the guy's got to work for him. Okay. Guy runs it. Guy's got to do the work. Okay. All right, anyhow. That's neither here nor there, is it? No. Well, they are naming a street after the governor. They're doing a John Doe Boulevard. All right. Yeah, I know some of you are probably Walker fans. Okay, so just ask yourself this. Where was Walker when the beet plant went down? Short pants, probably, back in Colorado. Okay, anyhow. Another news, Ryan Brown from the Brewers reported to Brewers spring camp today. A little late, he had to stop and fill his prescription. An asteroid missed Hartford by 17,450 miles earlier today. And Slinger by 17,452. Toyota accelerator settlement is announced, so if you hit the gas on your Corolla in Hartford and find yourself in Slinger, you might be eligible for something. An emerald ash borer was seen in Hubertus. I know, I said that. You heard it wrong. I don't know what your problem is. Hubertus. Who says that? Anyhow, he was there. Hitchhiking north on 164. He could be here by now, so watch out for that. Here's a trivia tidbit. You head south from Hartford on 83, you end up in Heartland. Isn't that cool? I just saw that on the map, and I thought I'd mention it. I thought that was something. And vice versa, I guess, if you're going the other way. Slinger man was charged with bleaching $100 bills and to print fives on them. He's never been very good. That stuff. You know, the right idea, you know, but all 50 of Heartland's Democrats, Hartford's Democrats, all 50 of Hartford's Democrats were at the mineshaft for the presidential inauguration, so that was pretty good. Better turnout. They rattled around in there. It's pretty big in the mineshaft, actually. The Dems are starting to come out of the woodwork, or is that the emerald ash borer? I don't know. Local boy Don Pridemore seeking superintendent of public instruction so he can end public instruction once and for all. Take it private. It's time we took public instruction private, I think. He had to take some time away from his citizen's arrests of federal officials and single parents, but that's okay. Okay, love that one. Make note, no more Pridemore jokes. In Hartford. Pridemore, you may recall. There's one more. Yeah. Pridemore, you may recall, advocates divorce alternatives including stoning and the old two horses and four ropes. Right there. Jesus Christ Superstar is, which is not starring Don Pridemore, will be in Oconomowoc on March 7th. I was asked to mention that. You want to catch it because you may not come again. This just in, kids, Justin Bieber, new tour dates include Hartford. Oh, wait, Connecticut. Sorry. Sorry, kids. But Willie Porter will be back. You'll see him. He's good, too. Kids love Willie just as much, practically. West Bend condos overrun by deer decided to go deer condo. So you can use your balcony for a deer stand. It's pretty nice. Pretty nice setup you got there, hey, you'll be saying to yourself if you live there. And let's see, okay. That's about it then. That's all the news I have here. Okay, thank you very much. That's all the news from Hartford and some of the news from Slinger. That is it. I do have a few... There's a few notes here that I was supposed to mention here. The Washington County separated, divorced, and widowed men and women are having a potluck. That seems only appropriate, a potluck at that point, doesn't it? So, okay. All right, that's over anyhow. Cake Wars, February 16th, West Bend Noon Rotary to eradicate polio. It's pretty much been eradicated, though. I mean, you know, it's the thought is nice. That's February 16th at the West Bend Noon Rotary there. Okay. They ought to pick a disease, really, that's still going strong. I don't know. I don't know what that means. Bedtime Stories Hour at the Jack Russell Memorial Library held on Tuesday evenings now, and they're going very well. 7 o'clock in Storytime Room. Pajamas and stuffed friends are welcome. So if you want to stuff one of your friends and take them along there, that'd be a good thing. Stash the Reading Dog has agreed to stop licking faces. Some Some of the kids were complaining about that. Here's in the police reports, a 61-year-old Hartford man reported the theft of his prescription safety glasses. Governor probably took them. Valued at $150. In his dreams, they're worth $150. Well, maybe they are, prescription. And a key to a padlock from his unlocked vehicle. Why would you keep a key to a padlock in your unlocked vehicle? I mean, that makes no sense. Think it over next time, Brady. Okay, just that. Man puts gun in wrong car, weapon missing. Okay. Cars look alike, guns look alike. You know, that could easily happen to anyone nowadays. Here's the definition of a bad day. A 22-year-old Hartford man was arrested on 3 outstanding warrants after police found him in his car, which had been stuck in a ditch following a snowstorm. What is that? A bad day. Boy, you think you had a bad day. Okay, and piling on, just one more thing. I always like police reports. Not that there's hardly any crime in Hartford. It's practically crime-free, except for these guys. And they're all kind of, what do you mean? You can't wonder. For example, a 32-year-old slinger man, this is slinger this time, was cited for driving with a revoked license, driving without insurance, and failing to install an ignition interlock device in his vehicle on Highway 41. That is piling on. Failing to install an ignition interlock, you know, you got him on 2 counts. Ignition interlock, throw it out. And poetry night, just one last thing. Cedar Valley's popular Evenings of Poetry returns next week with a theme of gratitude. Mount Mary College's English department is running it. They will facilitate. They will have ample refreshments and a cash bar. So that's a few things coming up here. Of course, the Speedway doesn't start until when? May, right? Pretty much, huh? Slinger Speedway? May? Sounds about right. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll find out because we have here joining us this morning, Carrie Finko, Miss Slinger Speedway, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to kick off the Speedway season a little early. Miss Slinger Speedway, Carrie Finko. Very exciting. Did you grow up on Sunday nights at the Speedway?
I did.
You did?
Yep.
Yeah.
My dad used to work there, and I used to go there all the time.
Yeah. What did your dad do there at the Speedway?
He's on the safety crew.
The safety crew?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't know they had one. You got a safety
crew?
Yep. Well, I suppose something happens, you need to send some guys out there and say, I don't know. Where'd the wheel go? The wheel's here. And that's cool. And did dad ever race himself out there? Or?
No, he didn't.
Oh, yeah. And so you're a little girl, you'd go out there, and this must be a tradition for a lot of people in Slinger and in Hartford.
Yeah. They've been around for a really long time,
yeah.
This track.
Yeah. Have you, did you think when you were a little girl that someday you would be Miss Slinger,
no,
Speedway,
I didn't.
Fastest quarter mile oval?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Is that all part of the title, too? That's not part of your title.
No. It'd be really long.
Yeah, yeah. So you must have met some of the greatest racers, drivers in history. Who are some of the guys that you've met?
Kyle Busch and Matt Kenseth and Ross Kenseth.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Do they ever say, do you ever exchange pleasantries with them? I mean, you give them awards or whatever, or you appear at the award ceremonies and stuff, but do you get to know them as human beings? Or are they human beings?
Matt Kenseth is a little rude, but...
Yes? Well, can you... What happened in that particular incident, for example?
I don't know. He just kind of is very distant and short, but...
Is it physically short, or...
Yeah.
Okay, so we've all had bad experiences, but you got to put up with that because you're there to represent the Speedway. And is it still, by the way, the fastest quarter mile?
That's what they say.
Oval?
That's what they say.
In the world or in the country?
In the world.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe they don't do it in the rest of the world. Maybe quarter mile ovals are not a big, but that's an amazing thing. Is it being sold now? I guess there's these. I heard some rumors that.
The track ownership changed to Todd. He had a lot of, he kind of ran the track already, but under Wayne's ruling.
And yeah.
So now he's can take control of it.
Todd from Wayne.
Yep.
But Wayne's kid is also involved. In
yes, he's doing the concessions.
He's doing concessions.
Yeah, and stuff like that.
Okay. So Todd was like the only employee basically out there, wasn't he? Full time. I mean, he was running the show, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you get to be Miss Speedway?
What do you mean? Like?
No, I don't mean. I really don't mean that at all. I honestly do not. I imagine there's a talent competition, and there's and you have to say something about world peace or something.
Yeah, we had to walk on stage in a bikini and heels and in front of the whole track. And
no, you don't have any of those shots with you, do you?
You can find them online.
They're online. Yeah, I know. I did actually. I just carry some with you. So it is sort of a talent competition then, of a sort.
I don't have to say anything. They just read stuff off about me. You have to fill out a sheet of paper. But.
Okay. And because your dad worked there, you probably had a leg up on the whole thing.
Maybe.
So to speak. Does Wayne make the final call on that? Or?
No, three drivers are picked at random. And then
the drivers do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So then they rank their choices in order from like 1 to 3, I think.
Yeah. And how long do you reign in this position?
Until June.
Until June?
Yep. And then I have to run again if I want to.
Will you run again for Miss Slinger?
Yeah.
Run again. She's running again, ladies and gentlemen. Miss Slinger Speedway. Carrie Finko, and the season starts when, Carrie?
In April. The end of April.
End of April.
Is when they start doing practicing.
Some of the practice heats, but the first runs probably are in May at some point.
Yeah.
And what's one thing you want everyone to know about the Slinger Speedway? Out there, may not, you know, from out of state, and they don't know about the Slinger Speedway.
It's a lot of fun. They're one of their big main attractions is Slam Fest, and it's a whole bunch of crashing.
And intentional crashing.
This
is intentional.
Yes, they do rollover contests and figure eight buses. Yes, so
buses.
Big buses.
Doing figure eights.
Yes.
Well, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Something for everyone, in other words.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you for joining us. Miss Slinger Speedway, Carrie Fanko. Thank you. Is that for me? Oh, thank you. Carrie Fanko. And speaking of cars, in case you were, we've got right next door here to a great thing in town. By the way, is this where the beet plant used to be?
Yes.
Isn't that something? I can almost feel it, can't you? I feel like the presence of of beets for some reason. But it's all been reused, repositioned, and now you've got the Wisconsin. You've got the beautiful Shower Center right here, and right next door you've got the Wisconsin Auto Museum, which is a great thing. And the man most responsible for it, joining us right now, Dale Anderson, ladies and gentlemen. He made it happen.
Hey, Dale.
Is that a position you won, too? Like, do you have to show up in a swimsuit? And...
Well, I thought for radio I was okay.
Yeah, no, but... I mean, to be head of the auto museum, there was not a swimsuit competition for that.
No. I just did it.
You did it. You're the man really responsible for this whole thing, right? Because this wouldn't be here probably, and next door the auto museum wouldn't be there, but if it weren't for the things that you've done.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that, but you know, I did have a board of directors too.
Ah.
Yeah, I know. We only meet twice a year anyhow.
Oh,
so
you know, they just sit there and listen to what you say, right? That's what a board of directors is all about.
Yeah.
So what's the history on it? How did that work?
Well, we started out, got the building and 165,000 square feet of buildings and 12 acres of land.
Yeah. And this was the beet plant?
And this was the cannery, It was Libby's.
Libby's, yeah.
At one point in time, this is the largest beet cannery in the world.
Yeah.
And then,
did you think about doing a beet museum?
I was thinking about that. Yeah,
It's limited, though. Yeah, Harvard beets, Harvard beet Wall of Fame or something.
Yeah, well, everybody buys frozen beets now.
Yeah, so it's a frozen beet. Borscht. Do you have the borscht? Section.
Anyhow, we had. I was working for the Chamber of Commerce and the Industrial Development Corporation.
Yeah.
Was buying some land out in the industrial park from the cannery, found out the cannery was going to shut down.
Right.
And that's when I started to talk to them about you know, donating the building and the property. So in December of 84, the parent company, which was S.S. Pierce, donated all of the property.
That's great.
And we took it over with $2,700 cash money.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Was that your money?
No.
Why did I know that answer before
yes,
I asked
yes, okay. Indeed.
Wow, what a deal.
So then we had some people work on the Jobs Training Partnership Act during the summers. We had some kids here that helped clean the place out because it was, you know, it was quite a mess. It was a cannery.
Yeah.
And all the good stuff, of course, they took with them, sent it to other plants. But, you know, we had the jobs training guys and did a lot of cleaning up ourselves. And by July of 86, we opened up as a museum, had 46 cars. And by December of 86...
Those are your cars, first ones in there?
No.
Just 46 years?
Yeah, they're 46 on loan. Mm-hmm. We didn't own any of them at that time.
Oh.
So, but right now, we've had a mix. You know, half of them are owned by us. They were donated to us. And the other half, you know, are on loan.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I just took in a new one here last Saturday. We brought in another.
What'd you get?
Another Kissel, 1912.
Another Kissel?
Yeah. Yeah. There's only about 125 restored Kissels in the world.
Yeah.
And we've got 25 of them. So.
Really?
Yeah. Good.
Now, all right, so... the backstory on that, the Kissel Auto Plant used to be here in town.
Six blocks from here.
Yeah, I think we passed it. There's a sign there.
There's a sign there, right.
Yeah.
So that's...
But isn't it a funny thing, though, because Mercedes-Benz is still going strong, but Kissel made, like, a quality car.
Well, sure, but, you know, it was like a lot of companies died in the Depression, and that's pretty much what happened to Kissel. But after they went out of business as a car company, they had done more business with Sears Roebuck, and so they started to build outboard engines. For Sears Roebuck, called the Water Witch. Had a slightly different name to some people, but anyhow. Well, they were guaranteed to get you to the center of the lake.
Yeah. This is all a routine. You got a routine that goes through this whole thing. I won't get
so from 36 until 92, we built outboard engines in Hartford, which is an outstanding period of time.
Yeah.
So 92 was the last year of production of that type in Hartford.
But the Kissel, I mean, Fatty Arbuckle had a Kissel.
Yeah, he did, and Claudette Colbert had
Claudette
one.
Claudette Colbert? Which one? They had that special, what was that kind?
The Gold Bug.
The Gold Bug.
Yeah.
You got one of those there?
Speedster. Yeah, we've got one.
Yeah, you got a Gold Bug.
We got one that was donated by Fred and B. Shower.
Yeah.
Her maiden name was Kissel, so.
Yeah. And what was the Kissel model? I think they had a motto, right? They said
every inch a car.
Yeah.
And that was in the early days prior to 1918.
Yeah. That might have killed them right there. They needed a better motto than every inch a car.
Yeah, well, and it was first it was Kissel car with all K's, which sounded so German.
Yeah, just
and
a bit.
It was World War I.
Yeah.
And so they changed the name to just Kissel.
What else you got there? Now, you got that salesman's card. I think that's a
salesman's car. Which one's that?
Isn't that the guy who drove all those thousands of miles?
Oh, the million-mile Saab.
Yeah.
You betcha. That's that's an interesting car. He said he killed 8 deer with it.
Even with all the safety features on the Saab, he killed 8 deer.
Yeah,
isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's on display. It was kind of funny. You know, he was on TV a lot, and he was talking about all these miles he put on and all the stuff he used to do with it.
Yeah.
And once he donated it to us, I had people calling me from Moscow to Tokyo, and they said, "Oh, please send us a picture of this Saab." I'm like, "Hey, wait a minute, go off the internet. It's a Saab. There's nothing special.
Looks like
about
a Saab.
Yeah, it looks just like a gray Saab.
Yeah,
but you have to admit it's over a million miles on it.
Yeah. What was his business? What was he a salesman?
He was in insurance.
That figures.
Yeah. All Wisconsin.
Yeah. All for an evil end. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. What else you got there? You got the you got Nash's.
Sure, we've got the only collection of Nash's. They actually rent space from us to put up their display.
There's still a Nash somewhere that does that?
There's a club there.
Oh.
4,000 members or something
worldwide.
So we've got a bunch of Nash's.
Have you got a Metropolitan?
One metropolitan.
My brothers had those. My brother Clayton and Howard, my two oldest brothers, tried to share. They share owned a metropolitan, which is three. It's three wheels, isn't it?
No, it's four.
Is it four wheels? Four. Okay, but it looks like it would be a three-wheeler.
Just barely four.
Just barely four.
Yeah.
Little tiny thing.
Yeah, I remember we had four football players in one time.
They did? That was just for a joke?
Yeah, just for a joke.
And you got one of those. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, and of course we've got our train, 250-ton steam locomotive, which has been all restored at a cost of $400,000.
Who paid for that?
Mostly people from Bill Gardner. Paid for a lot of it, and then the actual owners paid, for it.
Yeah,
and they did a lot of
work.
I
noticed
you never
paid for anything yourself.
No, of course not.
You never pick up a check or anything?
Well, they asked me what kind of car that I have in the museum. I said I get to play with all of them.
Yeah.
Of course, you always go out with a toolbox. I don't care how well it's restored. Take a toolbox.
Can you do you work on these cars?
Sure,
sure. You do?
Well, when I started out, did just about everything here. So
yeah.
But I don't do quite as much as I used to as far as the physical stuff.
A little hard to get parts for a Kissel, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you have to get them made, and we've had parts made here in town, and they've done a good job.
What goes on a Kissel?
Well, there's certain parts, like on the back of the generator is the holder for the distributor, and that was made out of pot metal, and they just crumbled.
Yeah.
And so we got the high school involved, and they made a can, what do they call it, with the drafting equipment anyhow. Mm. And then they converted it to a CD, and then we sent it over to CDM Tool, and then they made a tool that made the CD, they made the parts for us.
No kidding.
I mean, you can't get them any other way.
Now it's a high-tech Kissel. If Kissels had survived, they'd be making, what do you think they'd be making now? It was a pretty advanced car for its time, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, they were very advanced for the time. The problem was that they used a lot of pot metal, and the pot metal just fell apart. You know, that was real cheap metal.
That was a bad idea.
And there was a speedometer, a little gadget on the back of the transmission for the speedometer pickup. Oh. Those are pot metal. Those fell apart, so we've made some of those.
But it was every inch a car.
Oh, yeah, every inch. Yeah.
Every inch pot metal, unfortunately.
Yeah, that was all handmade. Of course, one of the unusual things is we've got one car with an aluminum hood and a steel body, and we've got one car that has a steel body and aluminum hood, and I never could understand that. Well, when I first opened up in the early days, we had some of the mechanics around that that knew about it, and I asked them, I said, why was it that way? And they said, well, when we ran out of one, we used the other.
Makes sense to me.
Pretty simple.
Pretty straightforward.
You bet.
I would say. And then they ended up, they made fire trucks and things too.
Well, they made the chassis, and then they were outfitted down at Pierce.
Yeah. And I saw this other car, the
Ruxton.
Ruxton. Do you have a Ruxton there?
We don't have a Ruxton.
They're pretty rare, I think.
I've been trying to get a Ruxton for the last 25 years.
I would like to drive this personally because I need this.
There's a fellow down in Texas owns five Ruxtons.
Five Ruxtons?
One of them is Bill Kissel's personal Ruxton.
Oh, wow.
And, in fact, one of my board directors just happened to be down in Houston and met with the guy and sat in Grandpa's car and all that sort of stuff, and we sure hope we can get it up.
Did you make him an offer?
No, he wasn't even interested
in
loaning it.
He's got to donate it.
No, he don't even want to loan it to us.
No, really?
No, not at this point in time.
And that was front-wheel drive, was it?
Yeah, that was front-wheel drive.
Yeah.
But Kissel was supposed to build the open touring cars for Ruxton. And in return, they were supposed to get new cash from a guy named Archie Andrews. And, I could go into lots and lots of detail. But what happened was the new cash didn't come, and the Ruxton guy ran out of money. And the way the deal was written, the guy would have gotten the whole company if they didn't perform. Well, he didn't perform, so they went into bankruptcy to avoid it, so they kept their assets. Kissel did.
I thought you could say something else there for a minute.
No. Well, depends on your leaning.
I want to thank you very much. It's right next door here. It's the Wisconsin Auto Museum.
And we're open today.
Open today. It's the best facility of its type in the state and perhaps in the country.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you very much, Dale Anderson. Ladies and gentlemen. He's the man who made it happen. Dale Anderson, Hartford, where the car is the star. Kissel. Anyone here drive a Kissel in there? Probably wouldn't tell me if you did, right? That known that you have a Kissel in the garage? All right. Hey, how's it going there?
Good. I drove an old Rambler.
John Tooling and the What Do You Know trio I got right here. If you're wondering who I'm talking to, you got a Rambler? What'd you have, Rambler American?
Rambler, a Rambler Rebel.
A Rebel, yeah. Without a cause.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. And, of course, we've got here the funky drummer, Clyde Stubblefield, in our trio. And the funky bass player, Jeff Hammond, along with John Tooling on the piano.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI Public Radio International.
Thank you.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
What? Oh, me? Okay. Can I get down this way? I don't know. Huh? Did you pay extra for these seats? Are these more expensive than the average seats?
Pardon me?
You're in these are... You're hearing like in these...
I heard that.
Yes.
What? When? Where?
These seats here, are they a little more pricey than the...
First?
Than the other seat?
Yes.
Okay. Just trying to... Remind me never to talk to you again.
Thank you very much.
Okay, it'll be a pleasure. My pleasure. Okay. Ask him a simple question. No, he's got to make a big deal about it. And you know he's always been that way. It's not just with me. James Pfeiffer is retired now, and he's still in Waukesha, though. Huh? When you retire, shouldn't you leave Waukesha and maybe go somewhere else, like the Bahamas or?
What did you ask? I didn't hear you.
Can you get you to stand up here and just come towards me a little bit here? I won't hurt you. I promise you. I won't use any of my famous holds on you. Nothing. How are you?
All right. What?
What did you retire from?
Oh, I used to work for A.O. Smith Corporation.
What did you do for them?
I ended up as a quench operator in their
what?
Heavy truck in their heavy truck division.
What operator?
I operated at a water quench. It's at the temper of the truck rails that they ran through.
Oh yeah. Oh, I've done that. and what?
I said you probably set the temper.
Yeah, that was me. That was the guy. And what's your? You have a problem here? You washed your hair? What?
No, I was trying to think of a question because they asked you to fill out the card there, and I couldn't think of much, and I thought, well, I shampooed this morning, and I can't do anything with my hair, so I thought maybe you'd have an idea of what to do with it.
It looks perfect to me. I think it couldn't be more perfect.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. It's perfect. A nice cut, too. But yeah, nice, and a hat makes a difference. I know I wear a hat all the time myself now, but, you know. During the show, I take it off. But, okay, is this a joke, Teresa? Why did the drummer put duct tape on his drum?
No.
What?
I watched him.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
I watched the drummer. I had a different question, but when I sat down, I watched the drummer take out a roll that looked like duct tape, tore something off, and put it on the skin of the drum. And I wondered if there was a hole in there, if that was a... Or if that was his sheet of music or whatever.
Question. Clyde, can you respond to that? Why did you put duct tape on your drum?
Just to quiet down the tone.
To quiet down the tone? Why don't you just stop hitting it so hard? Why don't they duct tape you so you can't hit it so hard?
Hello to my dialysis hospital.
All right. Hello to your dialysis hospital. Okay, that's a shout out to the dialysis hospital. Greg here is a computer guy from Appleton. What happened to the jet that was on the pedestal outside the EAA museum? Oh, it finally got clearance to take off. There was paperwork, you know, usually, and they kept people on board for the whole time, you know, it's been years. Wouldn't let them go to the bathroom or nothing. I was wondering about that, too, so I asked, naturally. That's what they said. Mary, the Mayhews are here. There they are. Where are they? Up there? I can't get to you, Mayhews. Huh? Oh, you're the Mayhews back there. All right. Is it worth getting to the Mayhews? I mean, it's a bit of an effort for me. All right, the Mayhews are here, obviously, and they're pretty excited about it. Mary is an oil painter, you know, from Newburgh, Wisconsin. And Charlie, meanwhile, is a barn deconstructionalist. Interesting couple. That's just written all over those cards there. Can I just stand up there, Mayhew? Stand up if you're a Mayhew. Can you see the Mayhews? Okay, here they are. Mary? Oh, excuse me. Mary?
Yes.
How are you?
Well, I'm fine, thanks.
I couldn't help but notice here, will you model for a painting session? Is this on the up and up or what?
Yes.
Thursday night? No, I'm not talking about the day so much as to what sort of modeling would it be?
Portrait. unless.
So I have to have. Well, why would I have to be nude for a portrait? if it's just a face.
We practice flesh tones.
Well, can you get a blush? Yeah, how are you on blushes?
You're pretty good at it.
Yeah, I can do a beet red. Can you get? You think you can capture that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we can work something out. Maybe if it's on the up and up.
Yes, it is.
You are deconstructing barns while she's in there painting.
Correct.
Nude people in the house.
Yes, sir.
What a great guy for isn't he, Greg? Talk about your understanding husband. He's out there in the barn fooling around, and she's in, you know, painting people.
Actually, her studio is a barn that I deconstructed and reconstructed.
Oh, you did. Oh, I see. You repurposed it.
Yes, correct.
But you don't do that for a living.
Yes, I do.
Oh, you do?
Yes. I have a...
You deconstruct people's, or you reconstruct people's barns?
Yeah, that's where the question comes in.
Oh, cool, that's a cool thing.
Did you see the question?
No, I didn't. I just saw her nude question about being... Yeah, I didn't see yours. What is that?
Have you ever rolled over a 12-ton all-terrain forklift?
No, but I bet you have.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. How'd you do that?
Carefully. It was on a barn hill, you know, doing nothing really stupid, but all of a sudden I noticed the scenery going by rather quickly. First half went slowly, the second half really fast. Yeah. Fell on the door, so I couldn't get out.
Oh, man.
But the back window popped open. I was able to get out, and I had to turn the machine off first. It was pretty exciting.
Were you killed?
it looks like it, doesn't it?
The Newbergs, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Newberg.
Nice meeting you.
I could spend all day talking to the Newbergs. So tell me, did you pay extra for this seat here?
I paid double the price for this seat.
Double. Okay, now he's willing to talk. See, now he's got some... Finally, we get something out of him. It's like, you know, pulling teeth. All right, this is a chance for you to show your interest in playing the What Do You Know quiz, a chance to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous and knowing some things you've learned over the years. Finally, the payoff. Who wants to play the What Do You Know quiz? Let me see it. You can show your hands for this. Does that mean that you want to? All right, you're a little over-enthusiastic. So I'm always wary of that sort of thing because, you know, I meet a lot of people and they're enthusiastic at first. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
And you are?
Mary.
Mary, you just want to use the one name?
From Heartland.
Mary from Heartland, okay. I saw that on a wall one time, but I won't go into it. Mary from Heartland, what do you do these days?
Well, I'm actually a board member for Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, isn't that wonderful? You can forget I said that thing about Mary from Heartland on the wall. It wasn't from Heartland at all. It was Slinger, as I recall now. Give me one good reason you should play this quiz, Mary.
Because I love public radio so much, and I've been listening to your show for all these years.
Yeah.
I have.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. Well, then come on up here. Let's make it pay off, finally, after all that effort. Mary from Heartland. Step right up, if you would, on the What Do You Know stage here at the Shower Center. In front of this beautiful audience from Hartford. Have a seat there, if you would. Mary from Hartford. So before you were Mary from Hartford, were you Mary from somewhere else?
I was Mary from Wauwatosa.
Mary from Wauwatosa. Now that I've seen somewhere.
And then I was Mary from Evanston, Illinois.
Oh, dear. Well, you got over that. That's the important thing. Yeah.
We keep that on the lowdown.
Yeah. And okay, what do you do for, you know, like a day job?
Well, I manage a little 40-acre hobby farm, and I...
A little 40-acre hobby farm. Really? Wow.
I do a lot of volunteer work.
Oh, cool.
The kids are all gone, and the husband's still working, so I keep myself busy.
That's what I see. My kids now, they're in college, and they're no longer around. I need a 40-acre hobby farm.
You need
to manage.
Something to keep you busy.
That's just the ticket. I'm going to write it down. Get 40-acre hobby. On a hobby farm, mm-hmm. What do you do? You raise hobbies? No. What do you raise?
I have horses and cows and chickens and
no
a dog
kidding.
And...
Animals.
And a garden. And
you have a farm with animals on
it. I do.
And what kind of horses, for example?
I have an Arabian, and I have a quarter horse, and I have a naughty Shetland pony.
Do you? God, you know, I used to have the same thing many years ago.
They'll teach you everything you need to know about horses.
The Shetland was the worst. Yeah, the Shetland could actually lie on its side and shimmy under a fence.
Yeah.
It was the cutest thing to see.
I call him the Danny DeVito of the herd.
They're
he's
kind of
he's
amazing.
Got an attitude.
Yeah, they all do, I think. Yeah. And then you got cows, you milking,
I do.
Milking
Lorena.
Cows. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the one?
Lorena. Yeah, she's retired. She was a milking cow. She's a Jersey.
Yeah. Can you retire from that? It's like the mafia.
She
isn't
did.
It? If you're a cow, you can't really retire from being a cow, can you?
Well, you say, I'm done. Yeah. I'm out of the order. Yeah. I need to go retire at the Purity Farm Spa. And she's
cool.
She's got a good life.
Cool, cool. And then some crops, too, out there?
We have a nice garden. We have an apple orchard.
Oh,
and
you do?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's really good. I got to do that. Hobby farm. I wrote it down.
It comes with a lot of shoveling.
Shoveling? Oh, really? Well, I know a guy with a forklift.
Yeah, we don't want any, no rolling over.
No, you don't want to roll it in. You want to get rid of it. Mary, you know how the quiz works? Someone out there calls in to play along with you.
I do.
General knowledge and so forth. And now, Sarah Nix, is there a way that people can call in to play? Is there a number?
There is. The number is 262-670-6549.
That's a lot of numbers.
Yeah, and it doesn't spell anything.
Oh. Okay. 262.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, go ahead.
670.
670.
65.
65.
49.
49. It spells nothing.
That's right. Not literally.
Did you actually try to spell something out of that?
It was tried, yes. It's the zero. The zero messes it up because there's no letter to go with the zero on the keypad.
That's the number to call. And I ask a question, then? Is that how this works?
Yes.
Yes, qualifying question. Okay. What do James and Charles Rossman and Julius Caesar have in common is the question. There might be a river involved. Please now. You'd have to be from around here, I guess, to have any idea, hopefully, that what I'm talking about. What do James and Charles Rossman, early settlers, actually, I'll tell you that much, of Hartford area, and Julius Caesar, former Caesar, before Sid even, who have in common the Rossmans, possibly involving some river. Pretty big hint. Let's go to the phones right now. Maureen in Lebanon, Missouri.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
I'm good, Maureen. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm on my way to Jefferson City, so I'm going to get off the road here because you're going to let me win this thing.
Oh, I don't know that, though. What do James and Charles Rossman and Julius Caesar have in common?
I don't know. It's some river that flows through it.
Sorry, Maureen. Get back on the road there. You don't have it.
Okay, thanks, Michael.
Thanks for trying, though. Get back safely on the road there. Okay. Sam's in Oklahoma City. You're bound to know this one, Sam.
Yes, sir.
You do?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Yes, the Rossmans, James and Charles and Julius Caesar, have something in common involving a river.
Well, they all like to go swimming in it.
Nice talking to you, Sam. No one locally is calling, so we're having a problem. What's the number again?
The number is 262-670-6549.
Okay. Amanda from Kansas City.
Hi there.
Hi. Julius Caesar and rivers. What do you know about Julius Caesar and rivers?
Well, I feel like there might be some sort of salad connection.
Caesar salad.
Is that a thing?
It's a good guess.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll talk to you soon.
Already.
All right. Bye. Walt is in Wheeling, West Virginia. You're bound to... I'm surprised no one's calling from town, probably. Probably.
We're all here.
Huh?
We're all here.
We're all here. Okay. Hey, Walt. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you, Mike?
Yeah. Did you ever hear that story about Julius Caesar and a river of some sort?
Yeah, he crossed the Rubicon.
Okay, that's it. From Wheeling, West Virginia, Walt qualifies, and so did the Rossman brothers. They crossed the Rubicon River here, and they built the sawmill, and everything came from that.
Well, I'll be damned.
Yes, you will. Okay. Walt, this is Mary.
Hi, Walt.
Hi, she's your partner, and you in a good place? Settle down there. You can work on this?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. The two of you work as a team, as you know. We have various categories. What are they, Sarah Nix?
They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Walt, you pick the first one. What would you like?
Let's go with school.
School it is. All right. Is more of Hartford located in Dodge or Washington County?
Yes.
I'm going with Washington.
Washington? Is that right? I have no idea. I thought I'd ask. Yes, that's right. Of course, that's right. Yes. Warrenson, a little bit. Just a little bit sticks over in a Dodge County. Sarah?
That is one right and zero wrong, and the categories remaining are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
All right, Mary, what would you like?
Let's do current events.
Current events right out of the news. What Hartford Union Record Center in soccer plays pro in Sweden, just signed with the Milwaukee Wave Soccer Club. Records 173 goals while in high school. A record never to be broken.
Know who that? Yes,
know who that individual is from Hartford Union.
Oh, holy moly! Come on, Mary.
David Flipper.
What? Not Flipper.
Flipper.
Weber.
Which one?
Weber.
Which Weber?
James.
James Weber. James Weber. Yes, James Weber. Now with Milwaukee Wave and the Swedish club as well, and that would be...
That's two right and zero wrong.
Okay. There it is. You can get this one right. You can take the whole thing.
Yeah, the categories remaining are people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Walt, what do you got?
Let's go with science.
Science it is. The North American wood warblers of Horicon Marsh tend to get lumped together, but in fact there are 5, 15, or 35 different species of warblers.
5, 15, or 35?
Yes.
I'd kind of lean towards 35 myself.
Yeah, I would too.
Yes, 35! Holy cow! Lots of different wood warblers! What have they won?
Mary, for your next birthday, you can host a party of 10 at the Germantown Country Inn and Suites, including pizza, sodas, and hot tub. Then in August, you can head to Richfield Historical Park for the classic car show and vintage baseball game, courtesy of the Richfield Historical Society. Continue in the classic car mode with a t-shirt, postcards, and Kissel logo keychain from the Wisconsin Auto Museum here in Hartford. Listen to the classic tunes on a CD from the award-winning Mr. Lucky Syndicate Swing Band and enjoy some roasted nuts from Hartford's own vintage Main Street ice cream parlor, the Scoop de Ville. Walt, you can spend an evening at the theater with a performance of Blithe Spirit from the Hartford Players Community Theater, then cook up a storm with a West Bend company, Regalware, museum commemorative sauté pan, along with a cookbook from the Washington County Historical Society. Travel to the John Michael Kohler Arts Center to visit Slovenia without leaving Sheboygan on April 3rd. Celebrate history with a mug, gardening journal, and souvenir magnet from Old World, Wisconsin. And return to the Shower Center next season with tickets for a fabulous series of shows. Congratulations to you both.
Hang on, Walt. Make sure you get that. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
Nice work, Mary.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. This is PRI Public Radio International. Live from the Shower Arts and Activities Center in Hartford, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Clyde Stubblefield on drums, and I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, ageless rockers Semi Twang and Jeff Ball of the Horicon Marsh Bird Club. More of the What Do You Know quiz, too. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who remembers Little Switzerland when it really was little, it's Michael Feldman.
We're at the beautiful Shower Center here for the arts here in Hartford. And right next door is the museum we were talking about earlier there, the Wisconsin Auto Museum. So you could, you know, come here and see, catch a play or, you know, a radio show if you're around real quick. and next door and see the greatest auto museum you've ever seen in your life. Some very rare cars and some cool ones. And right now, some guys I know personally, there's personal history here. Hey, John? But we're trying to forget all that, aren't we?
We go way back.
We go way back. We go too far back.
We were in the Army together, for one thing.
Yes.
Over in NAM?
No, we weren't in NAM. You're thinking of some moment. You're having someone else's recollections. I hate that. When you get to that age, when you have other people's recollections.
I'm recovering some stuff that might not have happened.
Yeah, I know. It's that therapy you're in. I would go to a different therapist.
Remember prison?
That was
those
you?
Those were the good old days.
That was you? Holy cow. Anyhow, I've known him for a long time, long time. We actually write some songs together over the years, you know, starting with If My Old Man Were Alive Today, This World Would Kill Him Quick. Remember that one?
I love that song.
Yeah. One of our many.
That's a beautiful song.
Big hits. You can do that one now?
I could probably just do some of it.
Yeah.
How special would that be?
Yeah, that would be too special. I mean,
especially monetarily.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't.
Okay.
It wouldn't be that special.
I'm a fool of myself.
John's band, Semi Twang. Ladies and gentlemen, you've probably heard of them. They are an outstanding band. Many fabulous songs. This is one of them. There are flowers and there are weeds, gnats in thoroughbreds. Lap dogs living the life of ease, mutts that won't get fed. There are mansions on the hill, shacks in shanty town. Blue bloods trying to look away, poor folks come around. You can wish upon a star, but that won't change your luck. Drop some coin down in that well, wish that you had a bug. Some folks can fit everything they own in a dime store paper sack. A man can't help it if he was born on the wrong side of the track. That you can't move a mountain if the mountain sits on you. There is no account for the things some people do. Drop some coin down at your feet to tell you how you should act. But a man can't help it if he was born on the wrong side of the track. I said a man can't help it if he was born on the wrong side of the track.
Thank you.
Oh, I got it.
Thank you. You're very kind.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I got it on my phone, John. We got a record of that one. It's on my phone.
Yeah?
Got it on the phone.
On the phone?
Yeah. Got you on the phone.
Oh, really?
Movie on the phone.
Wow. Oh,
got movie
pictures.
On the phone on this one.
I'm still living in some other time, I think.
I got movie on the phone app.
I remember the old crank phone still.
Introduce the band, John.
I'd like to introduce the band now. Over here on the red piano and saxophones, handsome man, we got Bob Jennings. Our utility guy. Next to me, on my left, on guitar and harmony, Mike Hoffman, our producer. My brother, the ever-charming bass player, Mike Seeger. Jason Clagstead on guitar,
yeah.
Slide guitar. And back here filling those big Clyde shoes is Bobby Schneider on the drum. Yeah. Our own personal funky drummer.
Yeah. Now, did you come to Marty Zipko's in your day?
I never made it up here. I heard never stories, did? And I heard your story earlier.
Anybody here, Marty Zipko's? Come on. I played Marty Zipko's. You played Marty Zipko's?
I played Marty Zipko's.
Yeah? Who'd you play with, Marty Zipko's?
Arroyo.
Huh?
Arroyo.
Arroyo? At Marty Zipko's. Arroyo. Cool.
Yeah,
who'd you play with?
Nope. I was in a band called Yipes.
Yipes. Yeah, I remember Yipes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, Yipes is a great band. Cool.
My band's never played anywhere, really. We played Kenosha.
Well, the prison shows.
We're here now. Yeah, right.
That was good. All right. So that's on a new CD. We should mention you got a new CD.
Yeah, we have a new CD that's coming out March 26th called The Why and The What For.
The Why and The What For?
Yeah, both of them.
Okay.
Together for the first time.
Yeah. Did you come up with that?
What's that?
Did you come up with that title?
I did.
Okay.
What
was
your
thinking
what it
there?
Means.
What was your thinking there?
Well, I actually wrote a song called The Why and The What For.
Oh, you did?
It didn't make the cut.
Oh. But it made a good album
many of them,
title.
Many of them come on that, come in on that side of the format.
And The Wrong Side of the Tracks, that's a great song. I love it.
Thank you so much.
That's a great song.
Economic justice. And it rocks.
A call for economic justice.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
About time.
Yes. I know, and for you
especially
personally.
For me.
For you personally is what I would like to see it. And then this song here coming up, what's this one going to be?
This song has your lyric, actually. This is a song Mike wrote, a very funny lyric called, I could go on and on, but this one's called You Love Everybody.
Oh, You Love Everybody.
About that kind of person.
Yep. I think I know her.
Okay. Well, you want to give it a try? When you think of everyone you hated, it'd be so easy to get jaded. But you love everybody. You love everybody. You love everybody. Like the last one in your bed, like the first one up in your head. You love everybody. You love everybody. You love
Woo! Come on, baby.
Thank you.
That's John Seeger there on the lead vocals and Semi-Twang. Semi-Twang, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Johnny. Thank you, guys. Are we on break now?
Not yet, no.
Oh, no, okay. Well, thank you again then, Johnny.
Am I coming back?
No, no, you're not. Don't come back. He's so anxious to play. He's got a big list, back list of songs, you know. Can't get through all of them, though. You love everybody. I can explain how that song. Now, this is how that happened. Oh, okay. But were you ever with anybody who loves everybody? You know that type of person who loves everybody? And yet they can't seem to like you that much? So it just occurred to me, if you love everybody, you know, come on. Here I am. I'm everybody. Okay. Oh, well. The new one is called The Why and the What For, I believe, from Semi-Twang. So look for that. If you find it, let me know. Now, you know, we're right on the verge here of a Horicon Marsh, and it's a pretty big deal, and it's a pretty big marsh. In fact, it's prehistoric, and they restored it, you know? So it's for prehistoric, and now it's restoric. And there's a big thing out here called the Horicon Marsh Bird Club, because it's a really huge thing, and we got the gentleman from it, I think you're going to find very interesting. Jeff Balls from the Horicon Marsh Bird Club will explain to you what's out in the marsh, even as we speak right now, and why that's important. You can come out, Jeff. He's got his binoculars. And I'm sure there's a warbler out there. No, they're probably not there this time. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Michael.
You wore your outfit. I love it.
I did.
Yeah.
First of all, I've got a little gift here for you.
Oh, thank you. What is that?
That is the official club pin.
It is? Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
So you know,
I don't feel like I've earned it, though.
Well.
Shouldn't I have to go out and stand in the marsh and look for something?
You did mention wood warblers.
I did.
Yeah. So I'm giving you that pin. You're an honorary member.
Oh, thank you so
that
much.
That exempts you from the test of identifying the 35 wood warblers.
Are there 35 that you know of, personally? How many have you seen of 35?
Probably mid-20s.
No kidding. Is it a big day when you see a warbler you haven't seen before? I mean, that's
pretty
big.
Yes, for me
moment.
It is, yes.
Do you remember the last time that happened? When you saw a
warbler? Last spring.
You did?
Yeah.
What warbler was it?
Canada warbler.
Canada warbler.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have the hockey helmets on. Yeah.
Now.
They're easy to identify that way.
Okay. Come on. Give me a. I know that's not true. The Canada warbler is very similar to every other warbler, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Similar. They have a
coloration.
Coloration. They have what we call a spectacles around the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Not real actual glasses, but
yeah,
they do have an eye ring.
Yeah.
And spectacles. So.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
You're putting me on still, aren't you?
Can
you level with me on this? No.
No.
Please. Try and understand the whole warbler thing to begin with. Are the warblers like the biggest collection of species in the Horicon Marsh? Would you say?
No, probably waterfowl. I mean, numbers-wise.
Well, yeah. Ducks, well, you always hear about the geese. And
yes, yeah. One of the largest stopovers in the United States of Canada geese.
Yeah, they stop over and they stay now by us. You know, I mean,
exactly.
I don't know. I'm surprised there's any left in the marsh. They're in Wingra Park next to my house.
Back when we were kids, there weren't any geese around, you know, year-round.
Is that? Yeah, now they live here.
Yeah.
They have they're geese condos. A lot of them are real upscale now and everything. It's ridiculous. It's like maybe we should make things less pleasant for them. They wouldn't stay so long. Doesn't that affect some of the other birds? They're kind of dominating the habitat, those geese.
Not necessarily.
No.
I mean, and sometimes they get to be a nuisance around parks.
Mm-hmm.
But that's actually kind of a replication of their natural habitat, the tundra in Canada.
Yeah, and the cornfields of their youth.
Yeah. Golf courses.
Oh, to see them descend on a cornfield is a beautiful thing. Strip it within 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Marvelous thing. Farmers love them, right? Are farmers allowed to shoot geese if they land in your... I mean,
self-defense? You have to have tags.
Self-defense?
You have to have tags.
Self-defense?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, the most thing, I've been out there in Horicon Marsh, and you walk in there and they all take off at once because you startle them or something. God, you've never heard anything like that in your life.
Yeah,
it's
you hear the
scary,
wings,
frightening.
The wings actually
You feel it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing, really. They could rule the world if they were a little smarter. But they're not that smart, you know, because and they're insolent now. The ones by us. I don't want to get off on this. This is not really what the marsh is all about necessarily, but they're insolent. You in the park, they're standing there in the park, and it's like their park, and you walk on there, and they turn around, and they confront you. Yeah, they do that stupid hissing thing.
They're just, fit. Protecting their families.
I know, but they're stupid. I'm not hurting their family. You can see, I'm afraid of the thing. I'm not even going to, you know.
Well, you got to show them who's boss, Michael. You can't cower. You know, it's a goose, okay?
Yeah, they really
You're smarter than one, right?
They're aggressive. I don't care. And you can't shoot them dead or nothing because there's laws and, you know, it's not fair. On a golf course, you hit them with a club. Headlines. Yeah. Headlines. Self-defense. All right. Now, the other species, now the warblers are a big one. What's another bird that, what's a bird that you've been looking for and maybe other people have seen it and you want to score this observation? Because that's important to you guys, right?
Yeah.
What you've seen?
Yeah. I'm not much of a lister, you know, one that checks off the list.
Well,
I try to enjoy what I'm looking at, what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Although I would like to see a black-throated blue warbler.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. Black-throated blue.
Yeah. Although something we have right here, you mentioned about what's here right now. We don't have the sheer number of birds that we have during the spring and the summer. But right now, we do have some really special stuff at Horican right now. We have some rough-legged hawks, which are...
Rough-legged, yeah.
Yep.
The ones with the rough on their legs.
Yep.
Right, yeah.
And some...
Those are cool.
Snowy owls.
Ooh, snowy owls. Ooh, they're here. How about that? They're in our audience.
Yes.
That's very cool. And the snowy owls. Let's go back to this black-throated blue, though.
Okay.
Are they rare? They're pretty rare, huh?
They're not real common, let's put it that way.
What's the difference between not real common and rare? Is there a thin line there or what?
Well, rare would be, their numbers would be like an endangered.
Yeah.
They just have they're very habitat specific and then their numbers aren't very plentiful.
Yeah. So
you're never gonna see 50 in a day, okay? Not like a flock of geese. You're not gonna see a flock of
You're not gonna see one, are you?
Yeah.
Let's face it.
I'm not.
No. Other people you know have seen a black-throated blue?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
A little envious, well, sometimes, yeah. A little envious.
You got to get over it, though, man.
Yeah.
It's not their fault they saw it and you didn't. What is one that you've cited that people would give their eye teeth to have seen?
King rail, maybe?
King rail.
Yeah.
Tell me about
it's
that.
It's a water bird.
Yeah. Oh, a king rail.
Yep.
What is it? Tell me.
It's a water bird, a shore bird.
Yeah.
Stands about a foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
They're very rare this far north. They're
rare or just there's a few of them?
Uncommon.
There are a few of them, yeah.
Another one that's very habitat specific. They like a cattail marsh of certain density and water levels. Their range is generally further south.
Okay.
What
does it look like? Maybe I've seen one. I know,
well,
it's that big, but that doesn't really help me. That doesn't narrow it down.
Let me think that, you know what a coot looks like?
Yes.
Okay.
A diving bird.
Yeah. It's kind of like a coot that walks more on land with a bigger beak.
Well, I can picture that.
Yeah.
In fact, I see myself now that you mention it. So it looks like me, is what you're saying.
It's just a larger version of a sora, and I'm sure you...
Of a what?
Of a sora rail.
Of a what?
Sora rail.
A sora rail.
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
S-O-A-R-A.
No, I mean rail.
Oh.
Larger version of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But what is it skinny, long-legged for a short bird?
Yep.
Well, a short bird with long legs and a bigger beak than
sora.
The ordinary.
Yeah. You got it.
Yeah. Okay.
You see?
I know I've seen it. Maybe it was in my dreams. Well, that's pretty cool. And those are specific to certain things. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have your shorebirds and you got your warblers that are in and out. And, and what else you got there?
Waterfowl. We have ducks.
Waterfowl, of course.
Yep.
Waterfowl.
Horican Marsh was actually recreated
for
the redhead duck. We have the largest nesting colony of redheaded ducks.
Are they actually redheaded ducks?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Redheaded ducks.
That'd be very attractive in a duck, I think.
Do you have a fancy for redheads or...
I don't need to. It's one of the song lyrics, so actually involves a redheaded duck.
Okay.
It's the funniest thing. I'm surprised he didn't do it. But redheaded ducks.
Yep.
So they're red.
Yep.
Red.
Yep.
Because we have the regular kind by us, you know.
The mallards, probably the green-headed ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the regular ones.
Mallards are probably one of the most numerous
misunderstood ducks.
Yeah.
You know, I get a kick out, you know, because we have so many ducks in our... We have the geese and the ducks beat up on the geese. I mean, the geese beat up on the ducks when they come through, push them around and stuff. You see all that stuff. But we have people who have never seen ducks before. I don't know where they come from. I mean, Wisconsin, we're blessed with ducks, you know. I mean, let's face it, it's a blessing. I didn't realize it, but it must be a blessing. We have ducks. Lots of them. But people come in and they're looking at the duck, they're taking pictures of this. It's a damn duck, you know. I mean...
Michael, we have people coming from all across the United States to Horican Marsh, just, you know, to see the waterfall, to see
all
over the world.
Yeah, I'm speaking about our park.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Horican Marsh is a place to come and see all this stuff. Yeah. Okay. And actually, it goes way back in prehistory, and then it was lost for a while, right?
Years. It was originally a depression that was carved out by the glaciers.
Right.
And then... pre-settlement, there was a lot of Native American villages around there. They hunted, they fished around the Horican Marsh. European settlement, it was a wonderful spot for waterfowl hunting. But back in the 1800s, there were no laws. Unregulated hunting, pretty much wiped out the duck population.
Yeah.
So then there was a group that thought, we'll drain the marsh and we'll we'll farm vegetables in it. Mm-hmm. And that lasted for about 3 to 5 years, and then there was just happened to be coinciding during the drought and the depression. And next thing you know, you had peat fires, and you had actually had marsh that was on fire. And,
wow!
Yeah,
what a history.
So then some conservation-minded folks decided, well, let's try to restore this place. And then through the 30s and 40s, they ended up restoring the Horican Marsh.
That's an amazing story. And if people from around here, basically.
Yep.
All banded together and say, bring it back. That's really an amazing story. And your big event's coming up in May, right?
Yes, our Bird Festival.
Bird Festival.
Horican Marsh Bird Festival.
Yeah, what's involved in the Bird Festival?
Oh, we have all
kinds. Can beginners get involved in
that? Oh, yes. You don't have to be an expert, so no one starts out as an expert.
No.
So
do they end up as one, though?
Perhaps. Or an advanced beginner.
yeah.
So we have bus trips, and that's generally for more of the advanced birders, the people that come from across the country who want to see as many species as possible.
Yeah.
We have some other hikes that are geared towards maybe intermediate, and then we have some things that are geared towards beginners. We get we hand them a pair of binoculars and a field guide.
You get to keep the binoculars?
No. I already gave you a pin, Mike.
No, I don't want yours. Oh. I'm wondering if you come out for this, because you pay
now.
A fee and you get a pair of nice binoculars or something.
So,
do you actually wade into the...
No.
No, you don't.
No.
You never actually enter the marsh.
No.
They have those big fan boats like Lincoln Vale, the Everglades.
Airboats. That's only used by the managing personnel, the Fish and Wildlife Service and Department of Natural Resources.
Okay.
They're actually banned for private use there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you fish in the marsh?
Yes.
You can?
Yes.
Okay. But those guys are in their boats. They'll catch you if you do.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you my good spots, though, Mike.
Where's your good spot out there?
North. I'll just say the north.
So it's not. So it's south, right? No. Where else? Southeast, southwest?
No.
Sure, we can narrow this down if we had a little more. Okay. All right, and so in May, and the object is when you're out there for the May event, this huge thing, lots of people come for this.
Yep.
What are you out there doing? You're looking for species.
Yep. We try to hit as many different habitats as possible.
Okay.
That'll give us the greatest number of species of birds. Oh. We try to hit grasslands, woodlands, of course, the marshlands. And we get to go, all through those. We get to have some... local experts that help guide us.
Sounds terrific.
So,
and then if someone wants to get involved in this, and how would they do that?
Just look up Horican Marsh Bird Club or HoricanMarshBirdFestival.com.
Yeah, and that's coming up May...
Mother's Day weekend, May 10th through the 13th.
perfect for Mom. She would
love
that.
Yes, we get a lot of people that are come out, and Mom has her bouquet, and there's several people in tow, and like, you know, Mom got what she wanted for Mother's Day.
Yeah,
and
poor Dad is trailing behind her.
Yeah. But,
thanks, Jeff.
You're
there
welcome,
you have
Mother.
It. Beautiful Horicon Marsh, and a man who knows it like the back of his hand. Jeff Bowles from the Horicon Marsh Bird Club. You can look up online and find out and get part of that thing. And how are we doing so far?
We're doing good.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. Are you a birder? You're not a birder,
I'm
are you?
Not a birder, no.
No.
I appreciate them. I don't keep lists or go looking for them particularly.
No, you don't?
No.
I have a special relationship with birds. I find as you get older, I could tell by your reaction I shouldn't even finish that sentence. But for one thing, I've been talking to the squirrel outside my window because I feel suddenly, I don't know, I reached a point where I feel like I understand a lot of what he does. When I was a younger man, I resented the squirrel. Because, yeah, they're annoying and they drop nuts on your windows and things like that and porch. But as you get older, I feel like I more relate to what they're about. So I feel like I have an affinity with the squirrel in my yard, and I feed them and stuff. And the birds too. They have these little birds that come, mostly sparrows and stuff. Why am I telling you all this? This is for my therapist. But I think so. An event like this, to go to Horicon Marsh and actually observe birds and their habitats and get in tune with that, would be a good thing for me.
Great. We'll get you some tickets. How about that?
Okay. You've done a lot of birding, though, haven't you, John?
Oh, yeah. A lot.
Down there in Chicago, what do you got? You got the hawks.
No, you got the...
Well, you got those wild parakeet things.
Got the blackhawks, I know that.
Well, the blackhawks, but yeah. I got a couple, like... cardinals in my backyard. That's kinda,
you do.
Yeah,
we have a pair too, and they own the yard. As a matter of fact,
I like those red cardinals.
I like them very much. Yeah, not as much as the red ducks, redheaded ducks.
Those redheaded ducks,
they're very
attractive
for a duck.
Yeah.
So you want to play a number here, or should we just chat?
Should. We can
chat for a while.
Play
if you
a little
want,
number here.
We haven't really talked in a while.
Wayne Shorter tune called Black Nile.
Okay, make it more Wayne than Shorter.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
I'll go down this way. Oh, yeah, the shower center. Where these are expensive seats here. Boy, you feel you got your money's worth out of this seat? Because you had to pay extra for it.
Got my money's worth, but I'm sorry if I seemed a little shy before. But no. I think the president's sitting next to me.
The president of what?
The United States.
Oh. He doesn't seem to be in his seat right now.
I'm in awe. No. Hold my hat.
Yeah.
Oh. He lost weight.
Okay. Very nice. Always a pleasure talking to you. Sometimes more than others, I got to admit, but usually a pleasure, I probably should say, a little more accurate. How you doing? Pretty good?
All right. Yeah.
Pretty good today.
What you up to these days? Today? Yesterday's not so good, though, right? Are you feeling better anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good to be.
What you got going on tonight? Anything?
No, nothing.
Tomorrow, something?
No, just cut some wood.
Don't you think you ought to make some plans and maybe do something sometime?
I came here.
I know you came here, and I appreciate that. But I'm thinking about you, and you need a little more of a social life, don't you? Have you got any social life at all?
No, not really.
What about the bird club? You could join that or something.
My mother was a member.
I bet you met a lot of people, I bet, and a lot of birds. And
yeah, she did.
So right there.
Yeah. Hi, how are you? Oh, hi, how are you? So, yeah, you're not going to get out of it that easy, though. I mean, what about clogging, dancing, clog dancing?
No, not into that too much.
No? Well, what interests you, then? Let's see if we can figure out something here for you. Well, let me ask your mother. Don't you think you should do a little more socializing?
Sure you should, but I don't know what...
Ever have a talk with them about it, or
no?
No, you don't want to. Want to press them into do something they don't. But maybe a card club. You join a card club is a good thing.
Computer.
Computer. Well, you got to get off that computer, though, too.
He's on it a lot.
I know. Okay. All right, I'm going to let you go on this. I want you to think about this.
All right.
Okay, your name is?
Bill.
Bill, nice talking to you. Not too much pressure, I think. And nice to meet you as well. You did a nice job with Bill. He's a very nice young man. Okay, where's Lynette Mayer? Okay, I got to get a pronunciation from you on this. On HUBERTUS. Okay, well, can I get you to stand up here? As future reference, if anyone comes in here, you know, Garrison or somebody, he wants to make a local reference, it should be pronounced
Hubertus.
Thank you very much. Solves that one. Hubertus. Hubertus. Because Hubertus is actually something obscene in Latin. So you don't want to say that. Hubertus. Okay, not Hubertus. I can't believe I said that. I feel so bad about it now, in retrospect. Kaylee Hop? Hoppy? Hopi? Hoppy? Hopi or Hoppy? Huh? Kathy. Oh, I got the Kathy wrong, too. Okay, Kathy. But I'm stuck on a Hoppy.
I spell it wrong.
How do you? Here.
It's Kathy with two E's. Hoppy. Okay. I married him. He went to high school with you. He went to Washington High School.
Yeah. Oh, he did, really?
Yeah.
Well, we both aged really well.
Yeah, we did.
Thank you very much. He went to high school, and she... Okay, your question is, why is it so hard to buy a Valentine's gift for a man? You know, I think it's because we look so terrible in crotchless panties. That would be my... Especially red. You know, does Jockey even make them? I don't know if they even make them. What? Yes.
She has two questions.
Okay, hand it back to her then.
I loaned her my question that I had sent to you in Madison several times and it never got answered. Do Christian Scientists take their dogs to the vet?
Okay,
I'm not going to answer it, but thank you for asking. That's all I need is getting in trouble with a Christian Scientist yet. Oh, boy. Let's see. They take their dogs to the vet. Did my wife marry a caveman? Interesting thing for Jeff Benton Contractor to say. There's Jeff Benton Contractor. Let me squeeze past you here. This is going to require some hands-on. Pardon me. I'm sorry to make you get up. Jeff Benton Contractor. Is this the wife we're talking about here?
My wife.
Yes.
Stand up, Jeff, if you don't mind. How are you?
I'm good. I'm dressed up for today.
Yeah, very nice sweater. Very nice sweater. Did you pick that out yourself?
No.
Did my wife marry a caveman? Explain.
You can't answer that until I tell you a story.
Okay.
I took my wife for an anniversary one year. We went to a fantasy suite, and I had her brought to the room by friends, and she didn't know where she was. Okay. When they got to the room,
was blindfolded and tied up or whatever, and brought to a...
Right. When they got to the door, all they heard was grunting. Of course, that was me. excuse me. That was a caveman inside. Right. When they went in, I jumped out after them, and my wife fell to the floor. And, of course, that's perfect for a caveman, because then he gets to just drag her in and claim her for his own.
Do I want to hear how this ends? I think I've heard too much already, but is there a nice family version of this ending of this?
Well, I'm not going to get into details.
No, please don't. There's too many already. You know.
Of course, when everybody fell to the floor and were peeing in their pants, they thought it was quite comical.
Okay, well, I got to go now. Excuse me. You have my utmost respect, my dear.
Oh, thank you. He's
sweet. Very nice. Sweet. Nice idea, too, the room and everything. Huh?
He had an outfit.
Okay, really? I got to go now. How are you? Pretty good?
Just fine.
Yeah.
I've listened to you on the radio, and it's great to be here in person.
Oh, well, nice to be here myself. And what are you doing these days?
Preparing tax returns.
Oh, what fun for you.
What?
What fun for you.
Oh, yes, but I took a break this morning.
Do you ever, if you do tax, you're a CPA or something?
No, I'm a tax preparer.
Tax preparer, okay. My dad was a CPA. But, you know, all those tax returns, you just start filling in things randomly after a while. You're doing like your 30th return, you know, and
well, once in a while you're tempted, but you don't do it that way.
No. I was wondering, just sort of freak out for a while, just put in any number there and any number of deductions. And well, nice to meet you. You are
Fred Seafeld.
And is this Mrs. Seafeld?
Yes, it is. I'm just great. Thank you.
What? Taxes in order?
No, not yet.
No. See, the tax preparer never does his own taxes. Little known fact.
I'm the last one, you know.
You're always late. Yeah. And did you say, you had something else you said?
I said I'm a Washington High School graduate.
You too? How do you like that? What was your name?
Barbara Ginther.
Barbara Ginther. What year were you?
Oh, you don't really want to know.
It's probably the same one as mine, actually, the way things are going. Well, nice to see you again. We got a lot of Washington graduates here, apparently. How do you like that? That's scary. Pete Hoffman, football coach. Right here. Pete Hoffman, ladies and gentlemen. Coach Hoffman, can you just stand up here, coach? Give me a rip saw, bigger than a buzz saw. You still coaching?
I still coach JV football, yes.
Yeah. And where are you coaching at?
Hartford High School.
Hartford High School, Hartford Union. How are they sizing up this year?
Well, we don't know that until we start in August. Yeah. But we always believe that we're going to have a good team.
Yeah. You go to junior high schools and solicit players?
No.
Make them offers they can't refuse and get them to sign a letter of intent there.
Whoever lives in our district and comes out, that's what we have.
Come on. Give me the real answer here, coach. You got to promise them like a Corvette or something, you know, when they get to be 16. And
you don't promise them anything.
I get you. You can't promise him anything.
Okay.
But you can go in there with a picture of a Corvette and say, nice car, huh?
That's right.
An eighth grader is going to see that and say, play a little Union football.
Right.
Be a little Oriole.
Correct.
Yeah?
Yeah, we have organized football from 6th grade to 12th grade here in Hartford.
Can we see any trends over the 49 years you're coaching? Are we getting we're getting some 300-pounders now.
Well, that's
the JV.
One big thing, the kids are much, much bigger than they were when I first started coaching.
Yeah.
It used to be that 200 pounds was considered big
for
an offensive defensive lineman, but now you better be up to 240, 250.
It's kind of scary, though, isn't it?
At the high school level, yes.
Yeah. Are they doing that on purpose, or are they just kids eat a lot more than they used to? I mean they're trying to bulk up for football and all?
Yes, they try to bulk up.
Yeah,
so they eat more, and weightlifting has made a huge difference in the caliber of athletes that come through in high schools.
Okay. All right, and so that's great, and the team is looking. You were varsity coach, though, right, most of the time?
I was varsity coach, now I'm JV coach.
Are you looking for anything to move outside the Union High School sphere? Anything, some pro openings, I know?
I had a grandson who asked my son, what does Grandpa do for a living?
Yeah.
And my son said, well, he's retired. Well, grandson says, he should get a job. And my son said, what job should he get? And he says, why doesn't he go work for the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah. We could use somebody, I think, you know. Maybe some defensive coach would be good. Huh?
I didn't catch the question.
Defensive coach? Did you ever do that?
No, I'm primarily an offensive coach.
Okay. Well, we could use that, too, come to think of it.
That's correct.
Nice to meet you, Coach.
All right. Thank
Pleasure.
You.
Coach Pete Hoffman. We're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz, because that's what quiz shows are supposed to do, pretty much. Otherwise, you're some kind of a fraud. Did you want to do it?
I'd love to.
No kidding. Well, stand up here. Let's see if you qualify.
I qualify.
You do? Do you have a background in quiz shows?
Oh,
have you
definitely.
Have you been on a quiz show before?
No? No, I haven't.
Do you watch any of those quiz shows on TV or on the radio?
Occasionally. I listen to you almost every Saturday.
Okay, then you're qualified. Come on up. Come on up here. Walk this way. Walk this way. There's never been a man more qualified. If he can listen every Saturday, he deserves some sort of recompense. Have a seat there if you would. We'll learn all about you. Or mostly. Oh, you never did a caveman thing, did you?
No, sir.
Did you ever hear such a thing?
Not touching it.
No, my wife, you know, she'd come in with the club, actually. But that would be the caveman part of it. And your name is?
Frank Wilkie.
Frank, how are you?
I'm fine, sir.
Are you from around here? Or?
Just outside of Heartland.
Yeah, and what do you do out there?
I own a web design business.
Web design? Oh, that's cool.
About 17 years.
No kidding. What do you do? You design webs?
Mm-hmm. Websites.
Websites. I was wondering what that was.
Web design. Not the spider web.
Yeah. What did you do before web design?
I own a satellite communications business.
Satellite communications. Wow. You sell that for big money?
No, it kind of went away with the little dishes.
Oh, okay.
We were doing the TV radio stations.
Oh, wow.
The big ones.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool. Well, that's really cool. And web design going pretty good for you?
17 years worth.
Yeah.
Still very busy.
Yeah, well, that's very cool. Very cool. What do you do for kicks?
Enjoy my Corvettes, boating.
Corvettes, see? Sign up, play at the Union. Get a Corvette. That's pretty much what I'm saying. You have Corvettes, huh? More than one?
Yes, sir.
How many you got?
Two.
Well, it's more than one.
It's more than one.
I thought a fleet, but that's cool. Two car. What years you got there?
I've got a, currently driving a 05, and then I have a 93. That's in excellent shape, 1993. Uh-huh. And dreaming for the new C7 models that are coming out.
A C7, yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's see, a 93?
93, yep.
Yeah. Which one was that now? What did that look like?
That was called the C4 model.
Uh-huh.
And it had the headlights that flipped over and more of a rounded rear end to it.
Was that the ducks behind on that one? You know.
Yes.
Yes, that one. Yeah. Nice. That's a nice car.
I'm going to go there. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a nice car. Cool.
But,
cool.
Yeah, black one, and it's...
Always been a Corvette man or something before?
On the last probably 7 years, 8 years, I used to be in sports cars when I was younger. And
yeah.
You got to be a little older these days to be able to afford the Corvettes. That's the average age is somewhere between 55 and 60 for Corvette owners.
Yes. You have to at least be on your midlife crisis to have a Corvette.
Yeah.
Or better.
And the kids are gone and all those things. You know.
Right. And use their college funds. It's all the leftovers from the college funds. Really. You can... Now, who gets that money, by the way? That's coming up soon, I got to think. Because if they don't use all their college funds, that should revert to the guy who put it in there.
I sent my 14-year-old granddaughter at the time a picture of the 93.
Yeah.
And her first email back to me ever was, "Grandpa, I want the car." And then about 20 minutes later, I got the second email, "Grandpa, I love you."
I'm sure the second one got held up.
I told her she had it backwards.
Yeah. Web traffic, you know, a lot of web traffic. So the second one got held up and got there actually after the... So you know how this quiz works?
Someone yes,
out
I
there, because you've heard it, I guess, and you should know how it works. Someone will call in and play along with you. And how would they do that, Sarah Nix?
They pick up the phone and dial 262-670-6549.
And that spells nothing.
Nothing.
That's what it's not. 262-670-6549.
Yeah.
I got that right. And that's the number to call. And you get to play along here with Frank. If you can answer this qualifying question, what famous bowl does Hustisford, just down the road, lay claim to? Famous bowl game in Hustisford. Did I say that right? Thank you. Hustisford, might be. I don't know. Famous bowl, Hustisford, down the road here from us. Those that lay claim to the... Probably heard of it there. Let's go to the Kevin here in Wisconsin. Kevin.
Yes.
How
Kevin
are you?
Michalowski. Hey, I heard you talking to Pete Hoffman. He was actually my history teacher at Hartford High School. So,
yeah. How come? Let me ask you this, though, Kevin. How come it's the history teachers who are always the coaches and never the English teachers? You ever wonder about that?
Teachers who are coaches as well.
Really?
Rick Brown was the cross-country coach.
Oh. Yeah, not football coaches, though.
I couldn't tell you.
If you understood that, you'd understand a lot, I think.
Yeah,
always the history teachers doing the coaching. Kevin, what famous bowl does Hustisford down the road lay claim to? Bowl.
The answer you're looking for is the toilet bowl.
The famous toilet bowl. Yes, sirree. Did you ever play in that bowl, Kevin?
No, I didn't. I used to live over near Hustisford for a little while, but I went to watch it. I could never get drunk enough to play in it.
Really? Did you try? That's not that hard to do, is it?
Yeah.
What are you doing these days, Kevin?
I'm a magazine editor.
Oh, you are? Which one do you edit?
I edit Concealed Carry magazine for the handgun industry.
Conceal and Carry?
Yes.
Have you got one on you? No. Are you packing that magazine?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, good man. Keep it on you at all times. All right, so yeah, Kevin, Frank.
Hi, Kevin.
Frank, Kevin.
How you doing, Frank?
Okay. I'm doing well. You?
Great.
Okay, you guys are a team right now, so you work together on all things, and we have various categories, don't we, Sarah?
We do.
I'm wondering what those were. You're just confirming that we had various categories.
Yes. Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Kevin, what would you like?
Let's start with school.
School, okay. Oh, the motto. Oh, if you're listening earlier, I'd be surprised. But in case you were, you would probably know this. The motto of the Kissel car was one of the following. Look at or go, every inch a car, or tomorrow's car today.
I should know that. I know the most famous car is the Gold Bug, and I've been to the museum, but I can't remember the...
Frank?
Every inch a car.
Frank's got it. Every inch a car. You go with that? Yeah, every inch a car. Every inch.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left there, Sarah?
Current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends?
Current events.
Frank, okay, current events. All right, Wisconsin now. This is a current event, I guess. A new number one in production of a certain commodity or crop. Of course, we know about so many of them, but now it's taken the lead from another state. Now is the number one producer of what?
Cheese.
Non-cheese crop. What crop? Vegetable-type crop.
Cranberries?
Non-cranberry vegetable-type crop.
Milk.
The only thing I can think of is ginseng. I know we're a leader in that.
Tuber-type vegetable crop that mostly grows in the ground and not a potato exactly, but at all, really. We're now the number one producer of that. We're talking about 118,900 tons of this particular vegetable that we all have in our vegetable bin.
Onions.
Can't really go to a salad bar not running into this crop. What crop is it, I'm wondering? Wisconsin is now number one in production of. Surprisingly.
Carrots?
Carrots are right! Holy cow! Right off the bat, he got it. How do you like that? It's a lot of carrots. 37% of American carrots come from Wisconsin, and I thought it was important you know that.
That's two right and zero wrong.
Yes, okay. It's a lot of carrots.
I had heard we took the cheese back from California, too.
Did we take? Oh, good. Yeah. They're happy cows. Happy cows. Get to watch dolphins off the coast of California. Oh, a bunch of hype.
The categories
are our cows can watch carp. Our happy cows are watching carp, and they're a lot more entertaining than us, and, you know, because they're flapping around in the mating time. I'm a cow. I'd much rather watch carp than dolphin. You see them every so often. Oh, there's carp. Big deal. You know, carp, they're right out there. What were you saying?
I was saying that the categories remaining are people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Right.
Let's try people. Yeah.
People. Okay. Sorry, I got carried away. Let's see. Identity theft, robocalls, or guys with a bucket of tar and a broom wanting to fix the roof. What most bothered Wisconsin residents in 2012?
Robocalls.
Robocalls. Oh, boy, that wasn't hard. That was universal. Oh. Wow. Yes. Weren't they terrible? Horrible. 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 They should be illegal, I think. Identity theft, I always say, who steals my identity steals nothing. Well, they could quit here. They've won, haven't they?
They have. They've won the quiz, in fact.
Yeah. But should they quit?
Well, that's up to them. They could quit now and take home some great prizes, or they could answer one more question correctly and win even more great prizes.
You mean the famous one-fer?
The famous one for the motherlode.
They could win everything if they... Well, I don't know, you guys. You could. We got some nice stuff for you right now. You want to go on and try it, Kevin?
I'd really go for the motherlode.
I'm going for it, Kevin. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
All right.
There. They're pretty good. I hope they're not bordering on a little smug now. They got these things pretty quick, except for the carrots thing they needed some help on, but okay.
So there's places, science, or odds and ends left.
Okay, there it is. Frank?
Places.
Places, this could be anywhere. Yes. Lourdes has, you know, Lourdes. And Hartford around here have what?
Have what in have, common?
Have no, I'm have what? That you know, there's Lourdes
Holy,
over in France.
Holy
they
Hill.
Got that. And around here, what have they got?
Basilica?
You're saying Holy
yeah,
Hill?
Holy Hill.
Yeah, the Shrine to Mary.
Holy Hill, then, is what you're saying.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And Kevin, you're agreeing with that?
Yes, absolutely.
That's right, Holy Hill. Holy cow.
Frank, you'll swing at a concert with Chick Corea and Bella Fleck at Milwaukee's Marcus Center for the Performing Arts.
Oh, wow.
And in September, watch log sawing, shingle making, and much more at the 15th Annual Threshery,
wow.
The signature event of the Richfield Historical Society. Good Take stuff. The whole family to an old courthouse, jail, and convent with your membership to the Washington County Historical Society.
Oh, nice.
Enjoy performances at Festive Fridays and the Footlights Family Series at the John Michael Kohler Arts Center in Sheboygan. And treat yourself to tasty roasted nuts from the Scoop DeVille on Hartford's Main Street. Kevin, your prize package begins with a full estate tour of a national historic landmark.
My pleasure,
that's 10 chimneys in bucolic Genesee Depot, including the main house, rustic studios, gardens, and an enchanting cottage, along with a Robin's Egg blue T-shirt from the 10 Chimneys
Frank,
Foundation, some Usinger's Fine Sausage,
Frank.
A 10th anniversary mug from the Milwaukee Art Museum, and return to Hartford in June for a production of Fiddler on the Roof by the Hartford Players. Congratulations to you both.
Hang on, Kevin. We'll make sure you get that. Thanks for playing, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Frank. Good job.
Tickets are available for our upcoming shows in Madison on March 2nd and 9th at the Monona Terrace. For more information, click over to notmuch.com or call 608-262-2201. If you're looking to keep the laughs going, click over to notmuch.com to join our or join our Facebook family, keep up with Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich, producer, with assistance from Michelle Good, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Colbert.
PRI, Public Radio International.